Continuing our studies in the book of Galatians, and I want to turn our thoughts toward Galatians chapter 4, and I want to read verses 12 through 18, Galatians chapter 4, verses 12 through 18. Brethren, I beseech you, as I am, for I am as ye are, ye have not injured me at all. You know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected. But receive me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Were that, if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. I am therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth. They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you, that you might affect them. But it is good to be zealous, zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. Paul, of course, is struggling with the church at Galatia. And they were seeking to go back under the law. There were those that were encouraging them to practice the Mosaic law, that is, the ceremonial law. Obviously, the moral law still applies today, and there are consequences if we are disobedient. But we have been freed from the ceremonial law. He is talking to brethren. He's talking to saved people. In fact, he's talking to more than saved people. Brethren are those that are seeking to do the will of the Father. Now I'm adding this to our thoughts this morning, not in our notes. Doing the will of the Father will qualify us to enter into the kingdom of the heavens. Not just see the kingdom of the heavens. The Lord told Nicodemus that if a man is born from above, he will see the kingdom. But if a man will do the will of the Father, now he didn't tell this to Nicodemus, but he tells us this in John 7, that those who will do the will of the Father will enter the kingdom of the heavens. Now, what's the difference between seeing and entering? Well, there were many who saw the football game or the baseball game this weekend. Those who were qualified entered into the football game or the baseball game. They were qualified because they disciplined themselves to be able to play the game. They were physically fit. And so what we're saying is that those who see the kingdom are those who will be part of the subjects of the coming kingdom. Those who enter the kingdom are those who are qualified to be kings and lords. Not everybody will be a king. Not everybody will be a lord. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And there will be those that will be servants in the millennium. In fact, they're known as those that are hewers of wood and haulers of water, as we have studied in the past. And I assure you, I don't want to be a hewer of wood and a hauler of water. I want to be one of the kings or one of the lords. So, Paul is addressing those that are interested in more than just seeing the kingdom. He is addressing those that want to do the will of the Father, and to do the will of the Father, you have to find out what the will of the Father is. Paul says in verse 12, I beseech you, and by the way, that's in the present tense, and that's an imperative when he says, I beseech you, be as I am. This is not a one-time event. This is something that Paul was continually doing. When he went back through the churches visiting the disciples, he was encouraging them to continue in the faith, and he was also encouraging them to continue in the grace of God. So Paul is saying, I beseech you, be as I am. And I am as ye are. The word am and are and in these verses are all in italics. And what that means is that they are not in the text. These have been added by the translators for clarity. And sometimes they don't make it too clear. Now, Paul is saying, I want you to be like I, or I am. That's clear. But when Paul says, for I am as ye are, that's not too clear. Because Paul wants them to change to be like him. And if he is like they are, what would be the consequences? They would stay the same. But Paul was not encouraging them to be as he was, or as he to be like himself if he is like they are. So what I did is I've changed the word are for clarity, and I says, for I am as ye were. In other words, there was a time in the life of those in Galatia, they were interested in entering the kingdom. They were interested in obtaining the promise inheritance, the heavenly inheritance. By the way, the word promise is singular in number, has a definite article before it, and we find this being presented in the book of Galatians. This is not salvation. This has to do with the family. Inheritance has to do with the family. And there is more than one inheritance. There's a heavenly inheritance, and there's an earthly inheritance. Not everybody's going to be in heaven that's saved. There are going to be people here on the earth. One nation group will be the nation of Israel. God will raise them out of their graves and bring them into their land, and they will possess the land that God promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So, Paul is saying, be as I am. And I was once like you were, but you have changed. But Paul continues, you have not injured me. You haven't offended me because of your change. Because I'm not changing, is really what he is saying. You guys have changed. I haven't. I want you to be like me. Now, you were like me at one time when I came the first time. When I presented the gospel of the of Christ to you, you were zealous for the same things that I am zealous for today. Now, I want you to change back to the way things were. In Philippians chapter 3, this is where this gives us a little insight into what Paul is saying. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ to be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now, Paul is saying, there are some things I have forgotten, and I count it but loss. And I want the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now, a lot of people associate faith with salvation. My personal belief, feeling is this. Faith is not a verb. It's a noun. But people want to treat the noun as a verb. And the faith has no voice, no number, no tense. Faith gives substance to things not seen. And we live by faith, but when we are saved when we believe on the Lord Jesus. That's a verb. That has action. Faith does not. A lifestyle. So when when you're living by faith, you're pleasing God. When you're not living by faith, you're not pleasing God. And let me say this. If we are saved by faith, we can lose our salvation because we can depart from the faith. We can make shipwreck of the faith. But when you exercise believe in the aorist tense, that's an event that can never be changed. But faith can change. That's why I was saying a while ago that Paul continually encouraged his disciples to continue in the faith. Continue pleasing God. And that's what he's trying to tell those in Galatia to do. And so, be as I am. You live by faith and do not let the law or the Mosaic law interfere with your lifestyle of pleasing God. Paul was dedicated to this. Look in Philippians 3, 10 and 11. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. If by any means I might attain unto the out-resurrection of the dead. This passage of Scripture is telling us a man that spent 3 years with the Lord on the backside of the desert. Here's a man who wants to know Him. 3 years with Him and, you know, just he and the Lord. He still has more to know, more to learn. And he needs to know the power of His resurrection. What is the significance of the power of the resurrection? A victorious life. By the way, Galatians will tell us, and we will study it eventually, but without the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, faith doesn't work. There was no faith operative until the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, Abraham lived by faith, but it was faith that was reckoned unto him, because her faith was not operative. We'll get into that in another day. But anyway, the power of the resurrection, the Lord Jesus Christ was raised from the dead that we might have a living hope for what? For an inheritance in the heavenlies that are undefiled and that fadeth not away and are kept for us by faith. That inheritance is kept by faith. And so therefore it's important for us to continue to live by faith. Not only that, being made conformable unto His death. I believe that being made conformable unto His death is the Abba Spirit. When Jesus cried, "Not my will, but thine be done," He died to self. Of course, He had died to self a long time ago in the heavenlies, but for us to relate to it, He said, "Not my will, but thine be done." And that's the death that Paul wanted. And he says, if by any means I might attain unto the out resurrection. People are going to be raised from the dead. This out resurrection, by the way, the word ek, the Greek word ek, is before the word resurrection, meaning out resurrection. This is really defined in verse 14. And we'll look at, let's just go on down to Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. When he says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are past." That is, all of his accolades as a Benjamin, as a Pharisee, as a student of Gamaliel, and all that he had to, as a Jew. And he says, "Forgetting those things which are behind, I'm reaching forth unto those things which are before." And those things which are before has to do with the high calling of God into His kingdom. Paul says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." The prize is to be won. It's not a gift. The crown of glory is given to those who finish the race. If you quit in the middle of the race, there are no crowns for you. And Paul says, "I keep my body under subjection, lest having preached to others, I myself should be disapproved or cast away." So the high calling of God is further defined in 1 Thessalonians 2:12, where he says, "That ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto His kingdom and glory." Now, his kingdom is not now. There's a lot of people that are talking about the kingdom now. Jesus Christ is not king today. He is our high priest. But he will come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So the kingdom is not now. Because if the kingdom was now, then I would ask myself, who of God's children or who of God's sons are ruling over 10 cities or 5 cities? There are none doing that today. But anyway, so the kingdom is future, it's millennial in respect. So, back to Galatians chapter 4 and verse 13. You know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. In Galatians chapter 1, we have a reference to the gospel that Paul was preaching. He says in verse 6 of Galatians 1, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ, unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. The other gospel that he's referring to here was good news in what day? In Moses' day. There are those that were preaching the gospel by Moses. And it was a glorious gospel according to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. But what we have today is a more glorious gospel. In fact, it's interesting to note that the Lord had Moses put a sack on his head so that Israel could not see that glory fade. And it did fade. So, these men, or this church at Galatia, was going back to another gospel. That is, the gospel according to Moses. The gospel of the ceremonial law. Which is not another, but there is some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. They were saying, not only do you need to live by faith, but you need to practice the moral or the Mosaic law, the ceremonial law. And so that's what he was talking. That's what he was talking about, going back or preaching the gospel unto you at the first. And that gospel is found in Romans 1:16, when Paul says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Whenever you see the word believeth, you will notice that it ends with an E-T-H. You know what that means? It means that that word is in the present tense. Every time you find the word believe with E-T-H on the end of it, it means in the present tense. And anything that you have, anything that's in the present tense can be stopped. And so this is not talking about what I call the common salvation, but the so great salvation. The gospel of Christ pertains to the so great salvation, which was first spoken by the Lord, according to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3, which is the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel about ruling and reigning with Christ in His coming kingdom. He was offering that to the nation of Israel, and the nation of Israel refused that message. Now, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, that is, in the present tense, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Just a reference to the Jew first and also to the Greek is a reference to the message of the kingdom. To the Jew first had to do with the Jews only for a while. And because they wouldn't produce the fruits thereof, that message was open to the Gentiles. And Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6, we get further light on this when it says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. This gospel of Christ was opening the door for Gentiles to be fellow heirs with the nation of Israel to rule and reign from the heavens. So Paul is saying, when I came to you and preached this gospel unto you, you received me, according to Galatians 4:14, as an angel from God, a messenger. And in my trial, which was in my flesh, you despised not, Galatians 4:14, nor rejected, but received me as an angel or a messenger of God, even as Christ Jesus. Now, I relate this to this response of the church at Galatia with Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13 in verse 20, it says, "But he that received seed in the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon or right away, with joy receiveth it." The church at Galatia received the word with joy. They were excited about the message of the kingdom, the mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens. In fact, in Galatians chapter 4, verse 14, Paul says, "Where is then the blessedness?" When I first came and presented these truths to you, you got excited about them. And he refers to them as the blessedness. But he says, but Paul continues, "For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me." In other words, they loved Paul so much that they would do anything they could to relieve any difficulties he was having in the flesh. They just loved Paul. They loved his message. They were excited about the message. But something happened when Paul left. And in Matthew chapter 13, verse 21, I believe is the scenario that we find the church at Galatia. It says, "Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended." What is significant about this? The church at Galatia did not allow themselves to be grounded in the gospel of Christ. And another or a group of people came in and said, "You've got to keep the ceremonial law to stand approved in his presence." Not salvation. This has to do with approval. This has to do with justification. He says, "But when tribulation comes, because of the word, you fall away." And it notice here, he says, but you dureth for a while. This word dureth is in the present tense. You continue to endure, but just for a while. And then you fall away because of persecution. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 7, he says, "Ye did run well in the past. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?" You were doing great. But there has come some people into your midst that have hindered you. And in fact, they've made you feel guilty about the way you live. In fact, in Galatians chapter 4, verse 16, Paul says, "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" There was a time when they just loved Paul and everything that Paul was saying. And the next thing you know, here Paul's been gone a while, and Paul is their enemy. They no longer would pluck out any eye and give it to Paul. In fact, they didn't want Paul around. And he became his enemy because he was teaching the truth. This happened to Jesus Christ, according to John 8:40. "And now you seek to kill me, a man that had told you the truth, which I have heard of God." They did that to the Lord as well, and they were doing that to Paul. But what was going on is found in verse 17 of Galatians 4. "They zealously affect you." Actually, a better translation would be, for those two words, which is one Greek word, They eagerly desire you, but not well, not with doctrine. In other words, they weren't teaching. They were manipulating the church. How were they manipulating them? They would exclude them. In other words, they'd kick them out. That word, they would exclude you. This has to do with peer pressure and not doctrine. Let me tell you, I don't have any problem with somebody who believes something if they have doctrine or scripture to support what they believe. That is the way it ought to be. But for me to change because I want somebody to like me, to change because somebody is forcing me to change apart from the Word of God or doctrine, I'm not going to change for that. I'm not going to change. In fact, they were excluding them that they might eagerly, that ye might eagerly desire them. In fact, the word affect is the same Greek word as zealously affect. It's the same Greek word. They just didn't put the zealously on the end, before it. That they might, that ye might zealously desire them. In other words, they were putting peer pressure on them that they might desire them, the ones that were leading them astray. In other words, the church at Galatia were being put under peer pressure and excluded to make them desire those that were excluding them and making them feel guilty. This is what the law keepers did, the sect of the law keepers did, the Pharisees. They tried to do that in the church or the church in Jerusalem in Acts 15:5. But there were rose up a certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. That's what was going on. This has nothing to do with salvation at all. This has to do with practicing the law, the ceremonial law of Moses. And so there was a sect of those. In Acts 15:24 it says, "For as much as we have heard, and certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your soul, saying, we must be circumcised and keep the law, and to whom we gave no such commandment." This is what James was saying. We didn't tell anybody that you had to do this. This is something that is going on that are not part of what we put out here at the church in Jerusalem. In fact, in Matthew 23, verses 2 and 3, it says, Jesus was talking and telling his disciples. He says, "Saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do." In other words, there was a time when though his disciples, the cleansed lepers, had to go to the priest and get cleansed. He says, "You do what they tell you to do, but you don't do what they do." And what they did was that they were not keeping the law themselves. In fact, it tells us in Galatians 4:18, it is good to be zealously. Oh, excuse me, I want to skip over the verse I was going to. Galatians 6:13. "For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh." In other words, these Judaizers, they were saying you got to keep the Mosaic law, they weren't doing it themselves. That is an indictment that Paul put on them. They just wanted to be the head man. They wanted to be like Gaius that were in 3 John, kicking people out of the church and bad-mouthing the Apostle John and all these things. People want the preeminence. People want to be top dog. And they want to rule over. They want to lord over people. And that's what was happening here. They were lording over them through peer pressure and not the teaching of the Word. And they were trying to get them to be circumcised and to keep the law when they themselves weren't doing it. So, in Galatians 4:18, in closing, but it is good to be eagerly desire. Always in a good thing. In other words, it is good to be eagerly desire good things. We need to be zealous about the good things that are coming. Jesus Christ is our high priest for what? Good things that are coming. Hebrews 10, or 9 and verse 10, I believe it is. He is our high priest concerning good things to come. And not only, and here's the thing. How are you living when there's no one around? And that's what Paul is saying in the latter part of this verse. And not only when I'm present with you, you need to be doing this when I'm not with you. Paul said in Philippians 2:12, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We need to be living zealously for the Lord when no one's looking. And especially when the preacher's not looking. And someone says, you're supposed to be good for nothing, but they pay the preacher to be good. No. No, I guess I didn't tell that one the right way. But anyway, that's the gist of it. So, we need to be zealous about good things, about living for the Lord when no one's looking. So Paul, I want to close with Philippians chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk with the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Paul says there are rules to follow, but they're not of the law. They're not of the ceremony. There are rules to follow, and Paul taught them how to live. And he says, I want you to live like me, because I gave you an example, and I want you to mark out those that are living like me and do what they do. Do not let others force you to change your lifestyle because of peer pressure. It's doctrine that makes the difference. And Paul wants us to be like him. He wants us to be faithful to him and to serve him to the end. Let's just close in a word of prayer together. Father, I just pray that you would bless the thoughts this morning. We know the dilemma that Paul struggled with in his day over the issues of the ceremonial law. People were trying to please God by keeping the law of Moses. When things changed, when Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, it made faith effectual. It made faith to work. And today we please you by living by faith. And we sure can please you by keeping the ceremonial law. Circumcision is not profitable today. But living by faith does. And so Lord, we pray that you would help us to practice living by faith and doing those things which are pleasing in your sight. Bless the message to each of our hearts, we pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.